Most of the time, a cult leader starts a cult for a very specific reason, some particular idealistic goal, usually religious. Danny Wallace is not your typical cult leader, so it should come as no surprise that Wallace didn't have any ambitious spiritual goals in mind when he started Join Me. Join Me is not only the name of his cult, it's also the name of his book about his cult. Wallace told Steve Paulson that his cult was born on a trip to a small town in Switzerland.
I was over there for the funeral of my great-uncle Gallus, and they were telling me all these stories about him being a bit of a ladies' man, a bit of a clown, a bit of an adventurer. And they told me this story about him in the 1940s when he'd been a bit disillusioned with the small-town way of life in Switzerland. And rather than just, you know, move to a bigger town or buy a book, he just thought, well, I've got a bit of land and, you know, maybe we can solve this ourselves, and maybe we can, you know, I can get lots of people to join me and we can all live together and work together and play together and we can create a kind of new little utopia. And he wanted about 100 people to join him, and he managed to get about 3 to agree. On that day, I was just thinking it was less a commune, more a kind of house share. So that was kind of going around in my head, and I was thinking, why wouldn't people join him, and how did he feel when he didn't join him, and what would he have done when they joined him, and would people join me? The answer clearly being no. But on a whim, and by way of a tribute to Gallus, I just put an advert in the paper, a small ad in my local newspaper, just saying, join me, send one passport-sized photo too, and then my address. And it was kind of a way of me, you know, taking him seriously when everyone had kind of told me this story, they'd been kind of laughing, but I was going, well, I'll take you seriously.
But that's all you did in your ad. You just joined me. No reason why anyone should join you.
No reason whatsoever. It just said, join me, and asked people to send me a passport photo, because I figured that was about the same level of commitment as agreeing to live on a farm in Switzerland with me, sort of. And amazingly, someone actually sent me a photo. About a week later, I was opening up my mail, and I was overjoyed when I found a passport photo, because it meant that I was a leader of men, albeit one man who's quite confused.
And then this guy who joined you actually suggested you should meet.
Yeah, well, actually, it was me that kind of suggested we should meet, only because I was fascinated by why someone would want to join me and what they were looking for, little realizing that he probably had lots of questions of his own. You know, he didn't know who he was joining or what he was joining or why he was joining, but he expected me to know. And I had nothing for him. So when we met up, he was asking me these questions and I was trying not to answer them, essentially, because I didn't want to lose the only member I had, you know. And he's kind of going, so how many people are involved in this whole join me thing? And because I don't want to say, I'm just going, numbers aren't important, you know, it's not about numbers, you know. And he's going, yeah, but how many are there? I'm going, again, you know, you're obsessed with numbers thing. It's not about that, it's about people. And he's going, how many? And eventually I had to tell him and I had to go, there's 2 of us. And I just saw the fear in his eyes as he added me to him and got essentially the world's most pathetic club. But luckily, I did think he was going to, at that stage, get up and run away. But he just took a sip of his pint, he looked me in the eye, and he just went, do I get a badge then? And I thought, fantastic, I've still got my joinee.
Now, one of the points that you make in your account of this is that you didn't want people to think of you as leading some cult. And you made the distinction between a cult and a collective.
Yes, people kept saying, you know, they kept calling it a cult, and I kept going, it's not a cult, it's a collective. Because, you know, cults, they do have negative connotations. My cult turned from something without any kind of purpose into a fairly happy cult, but there are lots of them out there that are, you know, giving the rest of us a bad rep. There's no space travel in my cult, no chanting, very little use of the bongo drum. Mass suicides are frowned upon, at best. So, I mean, you know, it's a nice cult. It's a new take on the whole cult thing.
So you had this one guy who joined you, yeah. And then other people started joining you too.
Yes. I kind of felt, when I met with this guy Jonesy, we got on really, really well, and I knew I'd get on with him just because he's got one of those happy faces, and the photo was just kind of so kind of nice and open, and I don't know, I just kind of had an instinct I'd get on with him. And I did. And there was no real reason for us ever to have met. You know, we've got very different jobs. We live in very different areas of London, different friends. We shouldn't have met. But we did, and we got on really well. And I made a real friend that night. And I met his roommate, and we got on really well with him as well. So I've made a real human connection. I thought, well, there's something in this, you know. There's something, I don't know what it is, but there's something about this that I like.
Did his roommate join too?
He did, yes. I think because I bought him about 4 pints of beer. So the barrier had gone down by that stage. He didn't mind joining me at all.
That's the secret to sucking people into the cult.
I think
you know,
it might well
ply them with pints.
Ply them with booze. Yeah, it seems to work. So I set up a website and I got lots of leaflets and stickers printed. The leaflets and the website said it was great to join, but didn't really say what it was because, you know, I had no idea. I just wanted people to join me. And word started to spread and people were telling their friends and their neighbours and their workmates and their family and people were sending me passport photos. And more of them were doing it. And I don't know why, really. I think some people were joining me out of a sense of adventure, others a sense of fun. Some saw an inherent joke in joining something when they didn't know what it was. And other people, maybe it's a British thing, they just saw a line of people kind of lining up for something and they just thought, well, they must be lining up for something good. I better join that as well. So all these people were doing. On the website, there was nothing there apart from a little forum where people could exchange messages about what it meant to join. In one case, I started laughing because this girl had gone on there and wrote, I think it's really stupid to have a website devoted to joining something when you don't even know what you're joining. P.S. Can I join? So it's this kind of, I realise it's this need in a lot of people. They just wanted to be in on it. But after I had a couple of hundred people, there was a strange shift. Because they're all emailing me initially going, you know, great, yeah, wonderful, yeah, we've joined you, we don't know who you are, we don't know what's going on, keep it up, I'm sure it'll work out, fine, let us know as and when. And then a little while later, it was getting a bit more aggressive, and they're going, will you just tell us what we've joined, please, because this is ridiculous. And it was when there was a bit of revolution, and when one person left, in fact, that I thought, well, I've got to come up with a point to this pointlessness, because otherwise it's not going to go anywhere.
And what was your point?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you're ever going to start a cult.
I haven't really thought about it, frankly.
Okay, well, you know, maybe at the end we can have a little chat about that. But if you do, you're going to have to work out whether you're going to use your powers for good or for evil. And I was tempted for a little while to use my powers for the dark side. Not real evil, just kind of mischief and, you know, a bit of mayhem, little pranks. But then, due to a series of events, which are all kind of, you know, I write about in the book and things, I decided, no, we will use. There's a lot of people here, and we could do something. So why not use our powers for good? And so I created the Karma Army. And I asked all my joinees just once a week to go out and do a random act of kindness for a complete stranger on a Friday. I wish I could say there was a spiritual reason or some amazing, you know, fantastic thing behind the whole Friday thing. It's not. It's just so I can call them Good Fridays and I can make them sign the Good Fridays Agreement.
And so people started doing this?
They did, amazingly, yeah. All over Britain, I started getting letters and emails and photographs in the post of people going out and doing these acts of kindness for strangers on a Friday. And people were running around and they were, you know, buying each other cups of tea. They'd do things like they'd hail a cab. And when the cab stopped and the guy wound down his window, they'd hand him a newspaper and a coffee. One guy got up very early one day and washed all his neighbour's cars. So all these little kind of strange little events, it was like some weird kind of underworld thing going on. And it wasn't about getting gratitude or talking about join me. It was just something that we were doing. And it was a great success. So every morning I'd get all these emails and I'd just be going, this is fantastic.
Now, wasn't there also a guy whose car broke down somewhere and the joinees helped him out?
That's right, yeah. I mean, that was an event that really inspired me. What had happened was some joinees were going to meet up, but I didn't want to go and meet with them because I don't look like a particularly inspiring leader. I didn't want to turn up and then to go, oh, brilliant, we appear to have joined, you know, Harry Potter's older brother or anything like that. So I kind of kept out of it, but I knew they were meeting. So I sent a package round to where they were going to be. In the package was a dictaphone and a disposable camera. And on the dictaphone was me in leader mode. I'm just going, hello, joinees, it is I, the leader. And the most embarrassing thing about that is I was like, when I was recording it, I was actually pointing and like, you know, looking like a leader. And I started rambling as well. And I knew I was rambling because I was using words like henceforth. It was kind of, I just got into this real leader thing. And I asked them basically to go out and make an old man very happy. And this they did. They ran around Hyde Park in London most of the day, making old men happy, buying them cups of tea or singing them songs, basically making pensioners happy whether they liked it or not. And like you say, they saw this old guy walking into a pub, very respectable-looking old guy, silver-white hair, a blazer, you know, very smart. And they followed him in and they said, look, we're from this thing called Join Me. We don't really know what it is either, but we're wondering, is there anything we can do to make you happy? And he said, no, I don't think there is. Which is a kind of a weird thing to say, you know, instantly, because most people would go, oh, blimey, you know, if you like, yeah. But he just went, no, I don't think you can at all. And they went, why? And he said, well, I've had a terrible day. My car's broken down. I've got to get all the way back to Devon, which is hours away. I've got no way of getting back. I've had to pay all my money to get it towed away. I've got no money left. I'm sitting here with my last pound, having a half a beer, wondering how on earth am I going to get home? And they said, I think we can help. So they dug deep into their pockets and they found about £40, enough for a train ticket home and a sandwich for the journey. And the old guy, he couldn't believe it. He recorded a message for me on the dictaphone, basically saying, I'm a very happy old man. He made allusions that I may have some Jesus-like qualities. All that. He had his picture taken with his thumbs up. He just looked amazing. And I just thought, we've really helped someone there. We've really, really helped someone. And we've reinstilled some faith in humankind in that guy. And he went off and he was happy. So that's when, I started the Karma Army proper and spread it to everyone. But then, about 2 weeks later, we'd got this old guy's address. He'd given us his name and address, Raymond Price from Tynmouth in Devon. And we tried to write him a letter, just to say hello and explain what it was all about. But it had been returned. And we thought, well, fair enough, it's probably an old address on his driver's license or whatever. I think that happens a lot. But then I put his name and his picture on the website, just saying this is what happened. And someone wrote to me and said, oh, that's strange. Because I was in London last week, and an old man named Raymond Price from Timothy and Devon told me his car broken down, and I gave him money for him to get home. And I wrote to him, and my letter got returned. And I think this is a scam. And I went, no, you're joking. And he sent back an article he'd found. Raymond Price is one of Britain's most wanted con men. He's been convicted 162 times of doing exactly the same thing over the past 50 years. He'd just come out of jail. He's sitting in a pub thinking, who can I scam? Five simpletons walk in and say, how can we help? So it was kind of like, for that moment, it was a real... I was devastated because I was thinking, you know, such a thing of beauty has been born out of essentially a lie. But that, you know, I wouldn't let it defeat us. So instead of punishing Raymond Price, I set up the Raymond Price Fund for keeping Raymond Price out of trouble. Because I worked out how much money he'd, you know, potentially be making with a bit of faith in the British justice system. I worked out through this quite minor scam, he'd been making probably nothing more than about $150 a year, which I thought was rubbish. You know, it's hardly the Green Goblin or anything like that. So I thought, maybe we should raise that every year and we'll promise to give it to him if he promises to stop scamming people. And the kind of the karma of the country will improve as a result because we'll be walking around a bit happier because we're not being scammed. And so all my joinees would put in maybe like a quarter a year or like 25 cents. That's all I would ask, nothing more. And we raised enough money. And that money's still there waiting for him. You know, we've got two lots of it for him if he promises not to scam. But I've got a file on him bigger than any police report. He's known throughout Europe now. You know, we're talking about him here. And someone actually bumped into him recently and they just read the book and Raymond approached them in Soho and just said, excuse me, my car's broken down. Can you help me out? And the guy, not thinking, just went, yeah, of course, yeah, what do you need? And Raymond goes, well, look, I'm not going to rip you off or anything. Here's my ID. And he shows it and it says, Raymond Price, Timothy and Devon. The guy can't stop laughing. He goes, I've just read a book about you. There's thousands of people all over the world who are contributing to a fund to help you out. There's this happening, there's that happening. And Raymond's just going, what? And he's going, I swear to God. And Raymond just went, yeah, are you going to give me some money then? He went, no, I'm not. See you later. So Raymond Price, I think we've inadvertently made his life hell.
Danny Wallace is the author of Join Me. He's also the leader of the cult of the same name.